In this week's market update, inflation remains in focus, markets monitor US jobs data and house prices with apprehension, and what to make of record high manufacturing figures. Economic news here in the UK and US has been disarmingly positive over the past few weeks. A strong earnings season, high consumer spending and positive growth expectations suggest the economic rebound has not only begun, but is moving faster than expected. On Tuesday, the OECD upgraded its global growth forecast from 4.2% in December to 5.8% now. It goes without saying, of course, that not all parts of the world are enjoying similar levels of recovery. However, the positive signs over here have met a lukewarm reception. Markets are inherently forward-looking. While it's great to enjoy the moment, many can't help but worry about what's to come. Hopes for growth today also beget worries for inflation tomorrow. Now, the situation now is a mirror opposite to that last year. Over 2020, investors became dependent on bad news. Lockdowns and restrictions supported the super high valuations of growth stock market winners. Central banks, meanwhile, buoyed markets with unprecedented levels of stimulus. These massive stimulus packages, coupled with ultra-low interest rates, extreme price volatility, and accruing household savings, stirred something of a perfect storm. A rebound, oddly, threatens that. As well as inflation anxieties, more on those shortly, markets fear that signs of a strong economic rebound would call a halt to central bank spending. For evidence of that, we can look to China. First in, first out of the pandemic, the country is also further along in its economic recovery than we are. For months now, China has begun to rein in its monetary support. In response, Chinese markets have remained relatively flat. Tightening murmurings have begun here too, if only in isolation. Andy Haldane, chief economist at the Bank of England, was the only member of the bank's Monetary Policy Committee who voted to curtail its quantitative easing policy. He's been vocal about the need for the UK to avoid inflation, quote, like the plague. You can see why investors may be getting the jitters. Perhaps the paradox was best exhibited last month in the States. Amid a plethora of positive economic data, last month's non-farm payroll figures, or US employment data, were strikingly negative. Only 266,000 jobs were added in the US last month. At any other time, that would be a very strong showing. In the context of the pandemic, it fell far short of expectations. Not that investors minded. Far from falling to the news, US markets went on that day to hit record highs. In the eyes of markets, bad economic news is fast becoming good news for the prospects of continued ultra-loose monetary policy. No surprise then that all eyes this week will be on Friday's non-farm payroll data. Expectations are high, but so were they last month. Economists forecast around 700,000 jobs to be added in May. As is often the case, however, investors should only read so much into the data. On the one hand, as we've seen, poor jobs data keeps stock markets happy. Their thinking is that fewer jobs demonstrates the economy still needs support, which means the US Federal Reserve is unlikely to taper its money printing, which means interest rates should remain low. All that is good for the kind of tech-focused growth stocks that dominate US markets. But there's a flip side here too. Employers weren't recruiting in April, not because they couldn't afford to, but because they were unable to fill vacancies. For whatever reason, job supply was exceeding demand. A natural consequence of a tight labour market like this would be for companies to increase wages in order to attract staff. Higher wages would lead to higher spending and then to higher prices. And all of this is typical of the sort of structural inflation the markets are worrying about now. Friday's non-farm payroll data won't tell us all we need to know, but you can bet that investors will be watching on with eagle eyes. Now, it's with similar concerns in mind that the Bank of England is monitoring Britain's housing market, according to a Tuesday report in The Guardian. Apparently, the bank is concerned that demand will outpace supply and feed into a general inflationary uptick. You can't blame the bank for its concern. The Nationwide House Price Index, which monitors UK house prices on a monthly basis, reported that annual house price growth rose to 10.9% over May. That's the highest level in nearly 7 years. A new record average house price of just less than £242,000 is almost £24,000 higher than this time last year. The question for central banks is whether rising house prices are the result of post-pandemic demand coupled with temporary supply bottlenecks, or whether something more speculative could lead to a new housing market bubble. There's plenty of evidence to suggest recent enthusiasm is temporary, fortunately. House prices have been one of the big beneficiaries of the pandemic. In part, that's down to the stamp duty holiday, due to phase out from the end of June, which has cut stamp duty on the first £500,000 of house prices. That results in a saving of up to £15,000. Another upward pressure has come from shifting habits over lockdown. Many have reflected on their lifestyles over the last 14 months and decided to relocate from the city to the countryside. Nationwide noted today how the majority of people are looking to move to less urban areas, and that's been true throughout the period. Seeing an opportunity, many have also stumbled across the means. It's estimated that UK households will have accrued around £180 billion of savings from the start of last year to the middle of this. A stamp duty holiday, race for space, and accrued household savings should be temporary drivers for the housing market. Still, Nationwide acknowledges that prices could accelerate higher in the coming months. What happens after that remains anyone's guess. The Bank of England is right to keep its eye on the situation. And that's not all they'll be keeping their eye on. There are key manufacturing reports this week from the UK, US, Eurozone, and Canada, with all but the latter reporting on Tuesday. Manufacturing PMI is important for three reasons, all of which are linked to inflation anxieties. First, new order growth tells you about business confidence. Second, the direction of the PMI trend often precedes other major economic changes like GDP and employment. Third, the data tend to highlight any supply chain disruption. Now, this was a key market theme last year, and supply deficiencies now could feed into today's inflationary jitters. Figures released so far were extreme in all regards. In the UK, manufacturing growth boomed to an unprecedented level. PMI hit 65.6, with anything above 50 signifying growth. But there was plenty of that supply chain disruption on show too. Italian and Spanish factories have warned of product shortages and inflationary pressures as they struggle to ramp up production to meet demand. Both nations also saw their PMI readings at their highest in decades. Spain explained that production growth would probably have been higher still if not for capacity constraints and difficulty sourcing materials. This is all driving prices higher for commodities. Eurozone figures emerge against the nervous backdrop from the start of this week. Inflation in the region hit 2% in May, the first time the rate has surpassed the ECB's 2% target in more than 2 years. Inflation at this level is, in theory, no bad thing. That's why most major economies set it as their target. But anything significantly above 2% would be bad news for the majority of investors. ECB policymakers, like most elsewhere in the world, remain convinced that any surge in inflation right now is strictly temporary. And finally, the OPEC group of nations is meeting later on Tuesday to decide whether to stick to its plan of gradually easing oil supply curbs imposed at the start of the pandemic. Given the reopening of economies and renewed bounce of demand, economists don't expect a change in approach. Ahead of the decision, the price of Brent crude rose above $70 a barrel on Tuesday, extending a rally which has seen its value rise 30% so far this year.
Please be aware the value of investments and the income from them can go down as well as up, so you may not get back what you invest. This information does not constitute investment advice and should not be used as the basis for any investment decision, nor should it be treated as a recommendation for any investment. Investors should also note that the views expressed may longer be current and may have already been acted upon. Reference to specific securities should not be construed as a recommendation to buy or sell these securities and is included for the purposes of illustration only. Fidelity Personal Investing does not give personal recommendations. If you are unsure about the suitability of an investment, you should speak to an authorised financial advisor. This podcast may not be reproduced or circulated without prior permission. It is meant for UK residents and does not constitute an offer or solicitation in any jurisdiction in which it may be unlawful to make such an offer or solicitation. No statements or representations made in this podcast are legally binding on Fidelity or the recipient. Issued by Financial Administration Services Limited, authorised and regulated in the UK by the Financial Conduct Authority. Fidelity, Fidelity International, the Fidelity International logo and F symbol are trademarks of FIL Limited.